thanks, Isaiah. I want to comment quickly on Haiti, and then we're going to spend more time next week talking a little bit in more depth about that. But a couple things. You know, the first off is just acknowledging what's been acknowledged everywhere, and that is that this is a significant disaster in an area that already has been through so much. But one of the things that I was encouraged about was how this early in our life as a church, how we're positioned to be able to respond when things like this happen. This is going to sound like a straight-up commercial for our email loop that we have. We call it ECC Mail. I always hate, I never want to sensationalize a tragedy for, you know, for anything that's self-serving. I'm not trying to do that. But my point here is, we would encourage you to sign up for that, because what we were able to do this week is we had an avenue to say, hey, this is on our radar. We're praying right now. We'll talk about it on Sunday, what we're going to do. We had an avenue for that. And there might be other times where things come up that are time sensitive, and it's one way for us to contact everybody at once. So if you're not a part of that and you're feeling like, hey, this is my church home, and or even if I'm friends with people in the church, we'd like to just be aware. Most weeks, it's just reminders, but there are some weeks like this where it was so good to have that in place so that we could just contact people. So that's one thing I was really encouraged about, that we have a mechanism where we can be in touch. The other thing that I was really encouraged by was this Covenant World Relief. Very few of us grew up in the Covenant Church. I didn't grow up in the Covenant Church. And it's been so exciting to see these pleasant surprises around every corner. And Covenant World Relief was a pleasant surprise. I was excited to see how quickly they were responding. They right away on the Covenant's main website, right away there was explanation. You could click this thing and it could tell you, here's what we're doing. If you're feeling like, I want to do something, here's ways you can get involved. That was exciting. It was exciting to be with people that you trust. Because when something like this happens, most of us want to do something. And we want to make sure, if I'm going to give, I want to make sure this is making a difference. Because there's a lot of things I could do with this money. And if I'm going to give, I want to make sure I give to people I can trust. And it's been so exciting to get to know some of these people because of the way they think. They've got the principles down, you know, of right now it's emergency relief. We need to get food and water and blankets. But we're not going to stop there. We've been in Haiti before this ever happened. We're going to be in Haiti long after everybody leaves. We're committed to these people. We're committed to help bring them along and not just give them water during this time when the attention of the world is on them. But as we're going to talk about more next week, we want to get them connected with living water that can help them experience joy in the midst of what they're going through, that can help even bring them out of what they're going through. So there's all kinds of things I'm excited about. Mary, could you just raise your hand? Mary Lochner is on the board, right, of Covenant World Relief. And so if you'd like to know more about the organization itself, we'd encourage you to talk to Mary. It's so great to be able to say, talk to Mary, because it's relational. It's so I'm encouraged, even in the midst of this tragedy, I'm encouraged that we've got these partners that are rising to the occasion, and we have ways where we can communicate. But I'm encouraged by a lot of things right now. It's exciting. We've got more of our numbers in from 2009, and it's exciting to give you a report, to be able to report that we grew on average. Our weekly attendance was up over 16% over last year. And that's exciting. And the reference point is in the United States, church attendance is declining against population in every single state except Hawaii. And there it's just breaking even. So for God to be doing something in our midst, that's exciting. So I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by the generosity that God is inspiring in people here. I don't have all my detailed reports finalized yet, but as far as big picture, it was really exciting to see how we finished the year. This was a tough year. It was tough on so many individuals and families. We had all kinds of people that are really, really challenged this year financially. Not only that, but the training wheels are coming off of us as a church. We're not even officially a Covenant church yet. That won't happen until June. And so we've received some outside support. And as planned, the outside support has been decreasing as we get closer to that date. And so we had the economy. We also had that. And we moved. We moved, and we had some significant expenses to be able to transition the move. But with all that said and done, with all of those challenges, praise God, we were able to finish without any, not only no debt, we were able to maintain the cushion that we try to have as a church, 2.5 months of cash reserves. So praise God for this. I'm very, very encouraged by all these things. Yeah, that is amenable. It is. It's exciting because so many of our brothers and sisters are having to cut back right now. So many of them, instead of moving forward, they're like, okay, what are we going to cut? What are we going to cut? And that's across the board almost. And in not just churches, but in so many areas. And so for us to be, okay, this year, here's these steps we're going to be able to take in Jesus' name, you know? And they don't involve nice corner offices. I office in my basement, you know? It's not going there. So I'm very, very encouraged. I'm also so encouraged by so many other things too. Let me just touch on two more and then we'll get into our message. We had our overnight, as Isaiah was saying, last night. And the night before, it all blurred together. But I'm so excited by what God's doing. He already has been doing great things from the start with our littlest kids. In fact, today, I went in when they were setting up. They've got this whole obstacle course all set up for these kids. And I don't know what they're doing with it this time, but one other time, imagine this. They were talking about Jesus as a shepherd, and so they had these little cotton balls, and they were the sheep. And here these kids are helping the sheep get through these little obstacle courses and stuff. I mean, they just do these cool things that are really going to help them get it, you know? Well, it's so fun now that we're moving along in our teen ministry. We're bringing up the level every year, and so we're able to have this great overnight and coming back just sore and exhausted, you know, having communion starting at like midnight and watching the, you know, teens share, you know, administering communion to each other after playing broomball and all this. But this whole idea of coming back sore and exhausted, how good is that to happen to us once in a while in Jesus' name, you know? Where if you're not at least once a year getting sore and exhausted in Jesus' name, it means you're not even either playing hard enough with other brothers and sisters or not working hard enough. Because I remember going down to Mexico and we're building these houses and lay the foundation day was not an easy day. But it's good, right? It's good. So I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged with God's doing our teens and our kids and our church as a whole. And I was so encouraged by Snow Day last week. And here's one of the things I want you to look for. You can get access to the pictures. If you didn't get the ECC mail, we had the link. If you're not able to get on Facebook, just talk to Phil or myself. We'll figure out how to get you access to some of these pictures. But one of the things I loved is our photographers took a lot of candids. They didn't just set it up and say, smile. They took a lot of candids. You look at the backgrounds of the candids, and you look how many smiles you see. And you look at how much engagement there is, people to people. I love that. I love what's starting to happen. So I'm really, really encouraged as we start this new year, as we start 2010, we have a lot to be excited about, a lot to be thankful for. So praise God for that. Well, when we open 2010, we open with a new series called Resolved. Let's take a look at where we've been, and then we'll continue on with the series today and next week. Here's where we've been. The first week we talked about, what this series is about is four key resolutions as we start the new year. They have an individual component. There's also a corporate component. And the first one was, I will walk by faith. That meant a lot of things. But ultimately, walking by faith can ignite trust. Because the more you walk by faith, the more you see that our beliefs are grounded in reality. And so that results in confidence. You can trust God. The more you start to walk by faith, the more you can realize, I can trust him. God can be trusted. All right, the second week we talked about, I will walk across the room. And that, you could talk a million things on this, but we talked about initiating relationships, taking those relational risks. Because ultimately, if you boil it all down, Christianity is about loving God and loving others. And so taking relational risks towards God, taking relational risks towards others. This week, what we're going to look at is a resolution that I'm going to call, I will walk in the light. And that could mean a whole lot of things. You could go a lot of directions with it, but I specifically want to link it to what Christians call witnessing, a conscious decision, a conscious choice to model Christianity to the world, to bear witness to who God is and his character. So that's what we want to look at today, this idea of walking in the light. And the reason I'm calling it walking in the light, because I think that is the single most effective way to witness. The given is, you know, you need to pray because it's got to be God's power working on hearts. But as we see this crazy relationship between God's sovereignty and our response to it, our witness, our example is absolutely vitally important. And it's so important in this area too. You may see a lot of church buildings, all around here, but the reality are, the stats are, that only on a given Sunday, only one in four people, if that, are attending a worship service. And the percentage gets even smaller because less than one in four, when they've been surveyed right here in this area, less than one in four say, my faith is very important to me. When given a choice of which box to check, only one in four check that. My faith is very important to me. So this idea of connecting and witnessing, it's vital everywhere, but it's vital right here. So then it comes down to the how. How do you most effectively do that? I think walking in the light, as we're going to look at, is the single most effective way. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, let's open up to Isaiah chapter 62. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to borrow one, you can always borrow one. We'll always keep a stack of them there at the resource table. If you don't have a Bible at home, we would love for you just to take one home as our gift to you. All right, we're going to look at Isaiah 62. Now, this is going to look familiar to many of you for two reasons. One, it's going to look familiar because this was Monday's Bible reading. On Monday, as I'm praying through and saying, okay, God, I feel like we're supposed to talk about witnessing. What scripture should we use? I had my bookmark. I was reading Isaiah 62, and I'm like, this works. So we're going with this. It's also fun because this is, verse 2 is a passage that we had on our very first Sunday, as a church together. And we'll talk about that a little bit here. So let's start with the first two verses. We'll work through this passage and see how it illuminates what it means to walk in the light. Every word, picture, intended thing there. Okay, Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and the all kings your glory. You will be called by a new what? Name. That was the passage the first Sunday we looked at this one. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. Okay, let's dig into this first couple verses a little bit, and then we'll keep going. We'll start with that verse 2, the new name piece. Many of you have heard this story before, but it's important that certain stories we pass on. So we want to tell this one over and over and over again so that we get it. And also, I see new faces. We have new faces every week, so here's the story. When originally, I never wanted to start a church from scratch. I was resistant to that, didn't want anything to do with it, my wife either. And when people were challenging us to consider that, in our resistance, I started to at least become more open to it. And when I became more open to it, I started thinking, if we did start a new church, what would we call it? Because I believe names are important. I believe names are important. And if we have a chance to name it something, what should we name it? And there was literally about a month where I'm thinking, what would you name it? Because again, names are important. And I don't want to just give it some generic name. Where we could be a country club, or we could be a retirement home, or we could be a church. It's just generic. I didn't want that for us. I also didn't want to pick a trendy name where you could say, oh yeah, you guys were probably formed around, 2005 to 2010, that kind of thing. There's certain names you can look at that are trendy, and I didn't want that. And so I'm thinking, and then I had this revelation. Wait a minute, if God wants to start a church, maybe he has some ideas about what we should name it. I'm giving myself more credit. What really happened was I'm like, okay, God, you want me to start a church? You tell me, what would you name it? And right away, Emmanuel Covenant Church. And I start thinking about that. I'm like, wow, Emmanuel means God with us. I would love to be a part of that. I would be honored to be a part of a church where we're experiencing God's presence with us and it's changing us so that we're like a God with us. We're not like, we are a God with us people. I would love that. It also connects us with this Emmanuel Children's Home in Juarez that I'm connected with and we're connected with. And the Word of God says, pure religion is this, care for the widow and orphans. This isn't just about us becoming grander and more comfortable. This is about us becoming like Christ in that way also. So I'm thinking, okay, this is a great name. And then it was so fun because there was a series of events that led me to this Isaiah 62, verse 2, and then it says, you will be called by a new name. And it's so exciting to be a part of something where God is, he cares even about our name. And I believe this is connected to walking in the light because I believe our name, this is God telegraphing what we're supposed to do. This is how we are as a church are most effectively to witness by living up to this name that he's given us, God with us. If we can do God with us, there's nothing we can do that's more effective in terms of our witness to right here to our neighbors and to the world around us. Names are important to God. You look in the scriptures. Look at how many times places are named. Look how many times people are named. Look how many times the names reflect what God has done. Look how many times names reflect what God is going to do. And he gave us this new name. We're the only Emmanuel Covenant Church in the state of Minnesota that I know of. And he gave us this new name, and this is who he wants us to become. To become this God with us people. Now, looking at the language there, it's very, very loaded. Again, I'd encourage you to go to replay where you can discuss this more, because we only have so much time, and I'm always pushing the limits of it as it is. But to dig into this language, it says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent." And there's disagreement regarding who's keeping silent. Some believe it's Isaiah the prophet saying, "I just can't keep silent on this." There's others who are saying it's God's, you know, really speaking, saying, "I can't keep silent." Some would say it's both, but somebody just can't keep silent. "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch." All kinds of light imagery. All kinds of light imagery. God's saving work in us isn't just for us. There's this component of it where it's changing us, and we're experiencing that, but as a result of what's happening in us, it's supposed to shine to others. That's a big part of what's supposed to go on. It's God's plan. And it's not a new plan. That was his plan all along. You go all the way back to the beginning and follow all the way through the Old Testament. You know, God was shining through Noah, what he did there. Even though there was a huge tragedy associated with that, God was trying to do something and trying to shine through Abraham and Sarah and the descendants. God was wanting to shine through them. It wasn't just to take these people, "Oh, I love them, I don't care about the world." Part of what God was doing was to shine through this people to the world. And you see this all throughout Scripture. That was his plan. When God delivered a million people from slavery and brought them into this wilderness, he gave them these commandments. And these commandments had multiple functions. They were on multiple levels. But one of the things that God was doing through the commandments was to set them apart from the others, to help them shine. And not just in the Ten Commandments, but in the commandments in general, you have commandments like don't sacrifice your kids, which sounds very, although it just hit me, how often do we in the suburbs sacrifice our kids? You know, we need to talk about that sometime. Whether it's we're trying to relive our accomplishments through them, or we're doing all these things to sacrifice. Wow, okay. So maybe that is have something to do with us, all right? But not literally. We don't literally sacrifice them to gods, as was happening back then. They thought, "Well, I'll show my devotion for my deity. I will kill my kid." That's the ultimate. God's like, "Don't do that." And he's showing them these different principles and these different types of things. So he's like, "Don't sacrifice your children, even if your neighbors do it. Don't sacrifice them. Don't let your thirst for justice turn into vengeance. Don't let your retribution," or it says, "practice restraint in your retribution. In your marriages, be faithful. No matter what everyone else does around you, in your marriages, be faithful. Remember the widow and the orphan. Have integrity in all things." The people, God's people, were called to be different. They were called to be set apart. And so many of the things God said to them was in direct contrast with the world around them. They were called to be different than their neighbors. Now, I was thinking about this. Imagine how we would shine if we just did the Ten Commandments. Like, if we as the people of God, if we just did that, we would stand out. If we said there were no other gods, if it was clear when people looked at us that we didn't make ourselves into an idol, that we didn't put anything else higher than God, if we were diligent in having one day of the week that was completely dedicated to him, where we would rest and we would focus and honor him, how different that would be. If we honored our father and mother, if we as believers didn't cheat, we didn't lie, we didn't steal, I mean, we would stand out in these things. If we didn't covet, I mean, we would stand out. And that would just be standing out by being good rule keepers. I want to challenge us to go beyond standing out by being good rule keepers. I would love to challenge us to stand out by really walking as Jesus walked. How wonderful would that be? If we could be known by that. And think how much more we would shine, truly live by him. Here's a passage. Let's just put it up on the screens. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Actually, it's in your notes too. If you want to take a look here, I'm in your notes. And actually, let's look at it. Let's read it from our notes because I'd like you to circle a couple things. It says, "For in Christ, the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority." All right, in your notes, circle the words "and you." And then where it follows, it says, "have been given fullness in Christ." Underline that. Because the principle here is that in Christ, God has taken his fullness and put it into bodily form. And then, "and you are to have this fullness." You, in increasing measure, are to then have this as well. And what's interesting too is it's you individually, but then you plural. As you come together, even more so, you're to see this body assembling. And so, linked into this challenge, what I really want to challenge us to do is to follow Jesus more literally this year than we've ever considered before. Because almost, if not everyone, who affiliates himself with a Christian church would say, "I should follow Christ." But what we do so often is we think, well, what was he doing in principle? And to a large extent, we need to do that. But what I'm going to challenge us to do this year is let's follow him more literally. Let's follow Jesus. If in Christ God was existing in his fullness, what if this year we started to follow Jesus more literally and try to figure out what that means? I believe this is all linked together. Going back to our passage where it says, "I will not keep silent. I will not keep silent till her vindication shines like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, the kings your glory." One of the things God's trying to accomplish here is to be vindicated. To be vindicated, to say, you know what, this plan I have to reach the world through people, these frail fallen people, God's plan will be vindicated as we do this. People will start to see, we see God's glory even through these frail people. I mentioned several weeks ago there was a quote by a Roman official. I found it. Take a look at this. People started to notice it. God's glory became vindicated. His truth became vindicated through these believers. Here's something that it says. This was written to the Emperor Hadrian, who I believe was 2nd century. So this is happening in the year, I don't know, like 130-ish, plus or minus, all right? Very early on, the Christians were following Jesus literally, and this is what the reports were coming back to the Roman Emperor. They love each other. They never fail. And this is not people who would be naturally oriented to think of these people positively. The opposite was true. So they were oriented to not be favorable towards these people, but look at the report. They love one another. They never fail to help widows. They save orphans from those who would hurt them. If they have something, they give it freely to the man who has nothing. If they see a stranger, they take him home. They're as happy as though he were a real brother. And it's fascinating to read these reports that the Romans have of these people. This early church who are trying to follow Jesus, and then the Spirit of God comes on them, the Spirit of Christ, and this it begins to empower them to live like Jesus. People are seeing Jesus. They're seeing Jesus in this. They also see how the reverence that we have for this God, it's not directed at themselves. Look at us, these great moral people. It gets deflected back to God. Because there's other things you can read, and I don't have these quotes. I wasn't able to find them, but I remember reading quotes of the early Romans and some of these early Roman people saying they act as though Jesus is still alive. There was this dead person, Jesus. They're acting like he's alive. Not only that, they're acting like he was God. And there's the very things that God said were going to come to pass through his people were coming to pass, are coming to pass, will ultimately come to pass. God's going to be vindicated as we submit ourselves to letting God live and work through us. All right, back to Isaiah 62. Let's look at verses 3 through 5. All right, you, and listen to the language here. All right, listen to this language. You will be, and Tony, get ready because I'm going to need your pronunciation, brother. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or your what? Name, or name your land desolate. But you will be called, Tony, you don't know, you'll be called and your land, which translates what you see in your text there. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. Listen to this. As a young man marries a young woman, so your builder will marry you. Wow. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Now, this, when you consider the context here, this is amazing. Because the context, if you started reading Isaiah at the beginning, God calls these people all kinds of things. And it's not beloved, and it's not I want to marry you. It's the opposite. God calls them prostitutes. He says, you have been unfaithful. He calls them by such harsh things. And then comes this. And there's a curse associated with it. He's like, I gave you every chance to repeat or to repent. I've sent prophets. I've given you this word. I proved my faithfulness time and time and time and time again. And yet, you continue to stray. You continue to go after. And then he uses that harsh language. Over and over and over again. But God will be vindicated. He's not given up. He's not going to send another worldwide flood. Through these people, they're going to be restored. And then comes this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful language. The most intimate language you can use for relationships on earth is used for these same people. This Hezbollah, that word, I could have picked a translation that translates it right for you. I left it because he uses a name. You, it's your, what does it say, your land, or you will be called that starts with an H. Does anyone know how to pronounce that? Okay, great. It means my delight is in her. That's what it means. My delight is in her. You will be called my delight is in you. Wow. And then that other word that starts with a B means married. You will be called married. Your land will be called married. And there was this curse that was pronounced on it. It was going to be forsaken. It was going to be occupied by other forces. It was going to be laid waste to. And now this same land, it's going to be married. And as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, and there's a lot of rejoicing in that moment. In that kind of rejoicing, I will rejoice over you. Wow. In God's great plan of salvation, he will not only forgive, he will be vindicated as he protects and he heals and he restores people to their home. He reconciles them with each other. God will make them righteous and honor them. And then even beyond that, God is going to take these people and then exalt them, not for their own sake, not because they deserved it, but because God's way is going to be proven true, and what he said is going to happen is going to come to pass, and he's going to exalt these people, and they will shine. They will be an example to others. And think about that. What if God would delight in us? Again, not because of what we've done, but just as a little child, a little kid, a parent can delight in a little kid, not because they're perfect, but if they're trying to be obedient and they respond in love, that you delight in that. And it's that kind of delight, or this intimate relational delight made possible through Christ. So what if we did that? What if we started to say, okay, God, we want to be a people you delight in. We want to start following Jesus more literal. We're going to err on the side of literal rather than err on the side of broad principle to apply very, very broadly. Here's a couple things that that fullness of Christ could look like. Again, at different times throughout the year, we'll take these as one piece at a time. But here's some things. If you want to walk with Jesus more literally, here are some things to do. Simplicity. Simplicity. Jesus lived a very simple life. He had one set of clothes. He invested in relationships. And what if we became a people who this year, I'm going to be I'm going to live more simply. I'm going to declutter my life relationally. I'm going to end 2010 with fewer things than I started with. What if we began to do that? With service, that's another thing. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to not to to be served, but to serve. What if we really started serving one another? What a witness that would be. Sacrifice, we'll get to that one again more next week. As I look at what the Bible says about giving, man, there are principles that we just don't do. And I'm in that we, that we see. And we'll talk more about that. Solid is another S word that I see in Jesus, that he was solid, that he knew what he believed. He understood why when Jesus would speak, they're like, he speaks with authority. What if we had that proper authority that was grounded in truth and reality and understanding? What if part of our authority came because we were living it out too? You know, that people, when they, Bible talks about how when they make slanderous accusations against you, how great would it be if they don't stick? Because our lifestyle is such where they say, oh, these people, they just gossip, they whatever. Well, no, it doesn't stick because, you know, we really don't do those things. You know, supernatural was another S word that came to mind. You know, following Jesus. What if we really said, okay, God, you say we can pray for the sick and they become healed. You say that you want to give gifts to us where we can hear what you want to say and we can speak it out. There's all these wonderful things that, you know, what if we started to experience Christ more literally? What if we loved our enemies and prayed for those who persecute us? What if we followed him more literally? You know, I think about Shoreview and representative of our different neighborhoods we come from. You know, we're not going to just stand out by being nice. There's a lot of nice people in Shoreview. Minnesota nice, a lot of them, but it's nice. There are a lot of people who, you know, recycle. The fact that we recycle is not going to, you know, change anything. There's people here who are very generous. The fact that we're just generous towards the poor, that's not going to make us necessarily stand out. There are people here who love their kids. Loving our families isn't necessarily going to make us stand out. But the more we can follow Jesus, that's going to look different. And again, throughout the year, we'll explore more some of those different points, how that can look very, very, very different than what we see around us. And here's what happened, past tense. Let's take a look at Acts 4:13. This is what happened as some early believers started to follow Jesus. Here's an example of what happened when, in this case, the religious leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with who? Jesus. When they saw the life that these people had, and they saw, in this case, also God's supernatural power working through them, they took note, these people, they were with Jesus. There was something happening in their lives that was uncommon to what was happening around them. Peter and John walked with Jesus. What if we did more of that? Well, there's one last set of blanks. Let's fill those in on our sheet and fill them in with this. One of the best ways to initiate movement in others is to follow Jesus yourself. One of the best ways to initiate movement, or inspire, let's put that down instead. That would be better. Inspire movement. One of the best ways to inspire movement in others is to follow Jesus yourself. This is certainly true of an individual. The more we as individuals can follow Jesus, the more likely we are to get people who are curious about the faith to say, maybe I want to ask some questions. The more we follow Jesus, those who are curious might choose to put their trust in him. The more we follow Jesus, those who put their trust in him might be more encouraged to say, God, I want more and more of you, and I want to have less and less of the selfish part of me. And as we comment on so often here, it's true of individuals, but it's even more powerful when it's us together. And so what I want to do as we wrap things up today, I want to show you a video. And here's the context for this video. Once a year, I go to a leadership summit that's sponsored by the Willow Creek Association. And this leadership summit, there's about 100,000 leaders who will be a part of this, whether live, whether by satellite, or whether when they take it to these different countries all around the world. So you've got people of you know, multiple tongues, tribes, and languages, all getting this great teaching. And they open this conference for 100,000 leaders with this video. And as you watch this, what it is, it's just kind of a montage of just different people singing from all different walks of life. And we're not talking walks of life, but all different nations. And what I want, if you can, as you see people singing, imagine that that singing is them walking in the light, that represented by them singing, sometimes in their languages, sometimes in English. Imagine that that represents a life that is living out Jesus in their unique context. Make sense? And then what you're going to see is when it ends, that the way this video ends, it ends with some people on stage. That's how it ended. That was live. That was actually recorded live. So it was pretty neat how they did all this. But then, so then everyone's singing this song together. This is it. Let's watch it. And then also, while we're doing this, could a couple of you guys grab the windows too? Let's see if we can darken this thing up as best we can. And you can just leave them closed for the rest of the time. All right, let's roll the tape. I don't think the last time we used tape.
Ask me where my help comes from. Ask me where my help comes from. Ask me how I stay strong, how I ascend the heights and don't turn my ankle on the jagged stones.
We lean our weight into the dynamo of the Almighty God.
Our eyes and our hope are firmly fixed on the reach and the scope of the love and the power of the Infinite One.
El Dios infinito.
Our food is to do the will of the one who sent us.
A drink is the wellspring of living water.
우리는 영원의 생명수를 마십니다.
He is our peace, who has broken down every dividing wall. Él es nuestra confianza. He is our confidence.
If a watchful eye searching to and fro, if a shielding arms reaching out to hold,
주님의 두 팔을 펼치사 우리를 붙잡아 주시고 인도하십니다.
He is our freedom, our relief, our rescue.
He is our joy.
Αυτός είναι η χαρά μας.
Our light.
Ούνι μολεύα.
The delight of our hearts, the lifter of our heads, securer of our souls. The spirit who propels us forward.
Αυτός είναι το πνεύμα που μας οδηγά.
He is our sustenance, our tenacity. In Him, all things hold together.
The very blood in my veins is redeemed and claimed by the blood of another.
So here I stand. I can do no other.
Aquí estoy de pie.
Here I stand.
Here I stand.
I can do no other.
Here I stand.
I can do no other.
There is going to be a day when every tribe, tongue, and nation is going to sing His praise. There is going to be a day where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is going to happen. And all of these false accusations that this is some Western religion are going to be proven false. There's going to be a day when all of the misconceptions people had are going to be shattered. And God is inviting us now to be a part of this. Amen. He is. That is amenable. That's what He's inviting us to be. A part of this movement that is happening all around the world. You may not see it in your corner. It is happening all around the world. This is what God is doing. And it's not because for profit. There's globalization happening on the marketplace all around the world. You're seeing the same franchises. They're doing that for money. You're seeing dictators that rise up in an area. And that's the opposite. Christian leadership is servanthood. There are religions that are popping up all around the world. And if you don't like us, if you don't conform to us, we kill you. And what God tells us to do is we lay down our lives to prove who God is rather than take the lives of those who don't agree. God is doing things all around the world. So let's respond to that as we close this service. We have a song called The Stand. We're going to invite you to sing with us, and we encourage you to enter in to worship as we do. If you brought a financial offering today, we'll also be receiving that at this time. Let me pray, and then you guys lead us in worship. Father, thank you that you give us glimpses like what we see on the screens there. Thank you. Lord, we need that encouragement that though we're just this little tiny group of folks who are gathering in a community center, God, your spirit is at work all around the world. And God, we pray that you give us that big vision and you give us a local vision and you give us a personal vision so that as we live out what you ask of us and we come together all around the world, this witness of who you are and your glory will be made known to every corner of this planet. So let us worship you now in the spirit and in truth and receive our offerings, not just of what you've already given us through, you know, financially, but we pray more importantly, our whole selves receive it. In Jesus' name.